So your partner finally told you the number. Years of self-employment, and there's a balance sitting with the IRS. And now, you're up at midnight typing, prenup IRS debt, and wondering whether one document walls that off from the life you're about to build.
And the honest answer is, the prenup does real work. Just not the work most people think it does.
Okay, meaning what?
A prenup binds two people, the two spouses. The IRS isn't a party to that contract. It collects under federal law from any property the person who actually owes legally owns. So the agreement can't reach over and tell the IRS what to do.
Then why sign one?
Because it decides what counts as yours. That's the whole thing. The federal tax lien attaches to all property and rights to property of the person who owes. If your house, your savings, your future earnings are contractually and factually yours alone, then there's nothing of yours for that lien to attach to.
Okay, so it's not a shield. It's more like it draws the line.
It draws the line. And it does three other things. In community property states, it can opt you out of the community regime, which we should come back to. It documents who owns what, which matters later if you're filing Form 8379 to get your share of a seized refund back, or if your spouse's offer in compromise has to allocate household income. And it can give you an indemnification right, a clause saying your spouse pays you back for anything the IRS takes from you.
That's enforceable?
Between the two of you, in state court. Invisible to the IRS, it works exactly the way a divorce decree does. Binding on the spouses, and the IRS just doesn't care.
All right, what's on the can't list?
It can't erase or reassign the liability, can't stop a lien or a levy against the spouse who owes, can't undo joint and several liability on a return you both sign, and it can't by itself stop a joint refund from being offset.
Wait, back up on that last one. So marrying them doesn't make me liable?
Correct. Marriage alone never makes you liable for premarital IRS debt. Never. But your exposure is indirect, and it runs through four channels. Joint refunds. File jointly and the entire refund goes to the old balance, including the part your withholding generated, every year until it's paid. Joint bank accounts. The IRS can levy any account your spouse can freely draw from, even if most of the money's yours. Jointly titled property. The lien attaches to their interest in what you buy together, including the house you buy next year. It doesn't take your half, but it clouds every sale and refinance. And fourth, community income.
And the prenup only closes some of those.
Right. It closes the community income one directly. The others close a different way. Separate accounts, careful titling, and a filing status decision.
Let's do community property. Which states?
9. Arizona, California, Idaho, Louisiana, Nevada, New Mexico, Texas, Washington, Wisconsin. Most income earned during the marriage is community property, and IRS collection rights follow state property law. So, in those states, your paycheck can become partially reachable for your spouse's separate premarital tax debt. How much? Varies a lot by state.
And that's where the opt-out matters.
That's where the prenup stops being symbolic. A valid opt-out keeps your earnings your separate property. Property the IRS generally can't reach for a debt that isn't yours. Sometimes paired with a transmutation agreement after the wedding. Two cautions, though. The opt-out has to be valid under your state's law. Independent counsel, full disclosure, proper timing. That drafting sits outside what we handle at Clarity. You'd want to talk to your own counsel in your state, not a template.
And the second caution?
Community property cuts both ways at filing time. Even filing separately, community property rules can require you to report half of community income. There's relief available under IRC Section 66. And if there's California state tax in the mix, the FTB has 20 years to collect under RNTC 19255, double the IRS window.
Okay, let's put a number on it, because the article uses one. 92,000 $700.
$92,700. Hypothetical sole proprietor, 3 years. Underpaid self-employment tax. Two thresholds matter immediately. It's above the $50,000 streamlined ceiling, and it's above the $66,000 passport certification threshold for 2026.
Passport. So the honeymoon flight?
That's a real question for the spouse who owes. Certification goes to the State Department, which can deny or revoke. And it applies only to the debtor, not to you.
What happens if they just do nothing until after the wedding?
There's an automated sequence. Interest compounds daily, and the failure to pay penalty adds 0.5% a month until it caps at 25% of the unpaid tax. Refunds get offset every year. A recorded notice of federal tax lien, which is public record and attaches to what they own and later acquire. Then CP 504, announcing intent to levy the state refund. Then LT11 or Letter 1058. That's the final notice. And it starts a 30-day clock to request a collection due process hearing.
LT11 or Letter 1058, 30 days. And after that?
After it lapses, they can levy wages continuously until released, and bank accounts, with a 21-day hold before funds actually leave, including joint accounts. And one 2026 thing? The IRS workforce shrank roughly 27% in 2025, so reaching a human is harder. But the liens and levies and offsets come out of automated systems that never stopped. Silence isn't safety.
So say it simply, what are the actual moves at that size?
At $92,700, streamlined is off the table, unless the balance comes down under $50,000 first. That's roughly a $42,700 paydown. Otherwise, it's a non-streamlined agreement with Form 433F, full financial disclosure, and payment set by ability to pay. Lien filing is likely at that balance. Offer and compromise exists, but it's means tested. The IRS runs reasonable collection potential, equity in assets plus a multiple of monthly ability to pay. $205 fee, 20% down on lump sum offers, both waived with low income certification. The IRS accepted roughly 1 in 5 offers in FY 2024. Currently not collectible, only with documented hardship.
And this is where the prenup quietly helps.
On the allocation, yes. With a marital agreement and genuinely separate finances, the non-liable spouse's income and assets can be allocated out of that calculation instead of inflating it. It doesn't change what the IRS measures. It makes the split defensible instead of arguable.
Anything that attacks the actual number?
Two things. Check the returns. Sole proprietor assessments are frequently overstated because mileage, home office, equipment deductions were never claimed. Amending goes at the principal, not just the terms. And penalties. First-time abate needs a clean prior 3 years, and the new automatic exemption from penalty starts applying automatically in summer 2026. That removes penalties, not tax or interest.
Someone's going to ask about bankruptcy.
Income taxes can be dischargeable when they pass the age tests. That work sits outside what Clarity does. That's a conversation for your own counsel.
Fair. And there are cases where nobody needs us at all, right?
Plenty. Under $10,000, there's an IRS program called the Guaranteed Installment Agreement that makes the plan nearly automatic. Under $50,000, streamlined online in an afternoon. If your only issue is a seized joint refund, Form 8379 is a form most people can file themselves. Sign the prenup, keep accounts separate, go get married.
So what do you do in the next day?
Have your partner log into their IRS online account and pull the balance, the tax years, and the assessment dates. Assessment dates drive the CSED, which is 10 years from assessment, and pauses during offers, bankruptcy, certain appeals. Then decide the filing status plan before your first joint return is due, not after a refund disappears. Keep accounts separate and attach a full separate property schedule to the prenup before the wedding date.
And if it's over $50,000, or there are unfiled years hiding behind the known balance, or you're in one of those 9 states?
That's where order of operations decides what the couple actually pays. Returns first, penalties second, balance last. Call 888-825-7779 and get the balance reviewed. And if the IRS side ever goes fully stuck, the Taxpayer Advocate Service is an independent office inside the IRS for exactly that.